This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
We continue. The chef's not answering his phone, though. So what I'm going to do is in the periphery of my eye, I can see Paul Ryan speaking about John McCain. And we're going to listen to him now. Oh, he just concluded his remarks. John McCain's 106-year-old mother sits just directly to the left of the podium. The vice president, who served with Senator McCain in Congress, moves to the podium. You know, it's weird to see friends of yours, right? John Kelly's standing there, and to watch them during this.
Speaker Ryan.
The vice president of the United States.
Leader Schumer, Leader Pelosi, distinguished members of Congress, members of the cabinet, members of our armed forces and honored guests, and most of all, to the McCain family, to Cindy, his children, and Mrs. Roberta McCain. It is deeply humbling to stand before you today at the United States Capitol to commemorate the life and service of an American patriot, Senator John McCain.
The chef just called, so again, we'll probably go back to that before the end of the show. But John McCain's body arrived in the rotunda of the Capitol today, and the nation honors his service. Going back to his service during the Vietnam War, and then as a member of Congress for all these years. But joining us from Grand Forks, North Dakota, is the All Marine Radio head chef. Kim, good morning. How are you? And I can't hear him. And I don't know why. Well, I can hear my phone. So, it's going to be one of those days, sports fans. You ever get that feeling? It's called on-air production. And now, hopefully, the voice of Kim Holmes. And I don't hear you. Something's wrong. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me, I promise. If you can hear my phone, then you can hear the audio coming out of my phone. So that can't be me. That's him. And he's a little technologically challenged. So sometimes we go through this stuff. So I guess we'll try it again. It's him. It ain't me. It's important to assign blame.
Yeah, Mac.
Well, what happened? Can you not operate technology anymore?
No, I got a call and I thought it was from you on a different line, but it wasn't. It was somebody else. Wait, here I am, baby. Let's boogie.
First of all, we need an update. The last we heard from you, you were on a gurney going down the hallway. We were playing Happy Trails to you.
Yeah.
And so what happened? What happened with the angiogram?
Well, the angiogram was a success. They found blockage, so they one stent was kind of getting blocked, so they put a balloon, they call it, in there and opened up the artery, and the juices are flowing once again.
Nice.
So I'm feeling better, and back to getting back to my normal self. And enjoying it. And then my kidney doctor yesterday said my kidneys are better, and so I'm back on the streets.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Now, do you feel physically better?
I do. I my breathing's better, I feel good. I feel great today.
Nice. Nice.
And but I always get excited on Friday morning anyway. So.
Nah, you sound better. You sound honestly, you sound better. Your voice sounds better. What All right.
Well, I was disappointed they wouldn't let me do the radio show during the surgery. when they do this stuff, they give you enough joy juice so they can talk to you. And they were playing some pretty decent music, and I was naming the artist and the year and answering their questions.
So how much of that procedure are you awake for?
All of it.
So they're going through your...
They're in you. They're got this little, snake going up your artery, and they go in through the wrist with me anyway. They used to go in through the crotch, but it's easier to go in through the wrist, and that's where they went. And so, yeah, they go in and have a little camera on the end and looking around, checking you out, and they got big TV screen set up, and it's actually quite freaky to know that they're doing this, and you're kind of in a daze, but you can hear him talking and asking, and he asks you hold your breath for a minute or this or that, or are you feeling okay, and you have to answer him. They can't knock you out for this particular surgery.
Really? I just assumed that you would be knocked out.
I always like getting knocked out. It's sweet dreams, and then you wake up in the recovery room, and all is good in your hood,
Right.
But that's not how these angiograms go.
How long did the whole thing take?
A little over an hour.
And, wow. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, before when they used to do that stuff, I mean, you were talking about open heart surgery, blah, 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 blah. And now, like, it took an hour. They went in through my wrist, and I was awake the whole time. What?
Yeah.
You used to have to have your chest cracked open.
And they do bypass surgery or replace stuff. But now, when this first started, they went in through the crotch. And so they got to shave your pelt and scrub it up, and then they go in, and then they go all the way up from the artery from your leg all the way to the heart, and so it cuts down a lot of travel time for the scope, and it's an easier procedure for the doctor, less chance for them to mess it up.
Whoa. Let's be easy on those guys, all right? Let's be easy on those guys.
I've been blessed to have great docs. I mean, my cardiology department in all of Peru is top notch.
So you go home, so you're in there for an hour, and then were you home that night? Did they keep you overnight for observation? How did that work?
Well, I went in at 11 a.m., and then they have to give you this drip to clean any dye out from when they did the stress test. And then I went in the surgery at 2 o'clock, and I was up a little after 3, and I couldn't go home because they had to monitor me. Make sure everything, the juices were flowing right, I think we got home at about 8:30 at night, same day.
Same day service.
Yes, same day service. Slam, bam, thank you, sir.
just like Amazon, same day service.
Yeah.
No, it's incredible. Absolutely. The things they do, we saw it in Iraq and Afghanistan, and for me, more so Afghanistan, because even the advances that we made in 6 years, from the time I first deployed in 2004 to the time I deployed in 2006, were incredible. The amount of sophisticated surgery that's done so far forward is amazing. Oh. Is amazing, and in addition to that. Our first aid kits, if you talk to guys who were in Vietnam, the first aid kit they had, they used the plastic box that probably was maybe 2 inches wide by 4 inches long. They used that to put cigarettes in and keep them dry. There might be a gauze bandage in there, but a lot of guys use that to, you know, as a kind of a wiping their sweat and all that kind of stuff. So now the first aid kits that we have, you know, tourniquets are in there, and clotting power, it's called Quick Clot, and it's amazing the things that you can do and how fast you can save people, and then the surgical suites that are forward are incredible, absolutely incredible. So what you could do in a full up round hospital suite here is absolutely positively amazing. So that's awesome.
It truly is, Mac. And the lives that they save because of the setups in the battlefield are just remarkable and absolutely spectacular life-saving tools. For them, you know, for doctors and nurses. Pretty cool.
Here's an email. It says, for Kim. Hey, Mac, the older gentleman once told me, you have to be tough to get old. Well done, Kim. Hang tough. Vacaville, man.
Well, I'm tough because my wife is making me old.
She's not having.
But no, I that's another thing that helps quite a bit is to have someone like Beth, who is pretty militant and pretty strict in our diets and stuff. So
she's pretty.
It's good. It's good. But you know, I can. I appreciate the thought. Getting old is an interesting procedure.
here's an email. Mac, how often does Kim go to the doctor these days? As I age, I've asked that of a few people, and I'm curious. Does he go only when he needs to? Does he go on a regular basis? What is his gig? So, first of all, you suffer from diabetes, right?
Yes.
All right, so you're a diabetic.
Yes.
And so do you go on a regular basis? How do you do it?
I do. I go on a regular basis for my congestive heart failure to the cardiology department twice a year to see the big dog, the surgeon, and to check on me, and then I go a couple other times to see his nurse for checkups, and then my diabetes doctor is my primary doctor, Dr. Ryan, who you know. I go see him about every 2 to 4 months, depending on when I weigh in, and whether he thinks that I'm too much liquid. You know, he checks your ankles to see if they're swollen and if you're retaining any fluid. So it's to answer the question, that's what my routine is. Which I think is too damn much, but that's okay. You just work it into your schedule and like I have a schedule, you know, I pretty much do what they tell me to do. That's the routine.
Bottom line is you do go multiple times a year and you go on a regular basis.
Yeah, regular basis for my diabetes and my cardiology.
Got it. All right. We're doing all medical radio here with the All Marine Radio head chef. Last time you heard from him, he was headed down the hall, and we were playing Happy Trails by Roy Rogers and Del Evans.
Beth is laughing.
Labor Day coming up. It is the last big. Holiday before people. In the Midwest, before they begin to close down their lake places, it's a big grilling weekend. And so I wanted to talk to you about some exotic things that we don't grill very often that you've had that you would tell people, you know, you might want to check this out. You might want to check this out, and you might want to experiment with this. So give me a couple things that you would say, you know, I haven't had this often, but when I had it, it was absolutely delicious. I'm putting some pressure on you. So give me a couple things as the summer grilling season, winds down, give me a couple things to think about.
Well, number one is a big porterhouse or T-bone or ribeye. But like, you know, something that's 2 inches thick that you sear and then indirect heat, that's a little more, you have to pay attention to that one.
Okay, hold on. So it's 2 inches thick, yes?
Yeah. And you know, it feeds anywhere from 4 to 6 people, depending on the size. Usually, these are anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 pounds, bone in, and so you know, it's a big chunk of meat. And if you're having a family of six, eight people, maybe you get two of these suckers. But, you know, it takes, you have to pay attention. You want to, put a crisscross pattern on them, sear them tight at high heat, and then on both sides, and then put it off to the no heat side, indirect heat, shut your lid, put your thermostat in, and then make sure most grills today have a thermostat in the lid.
Right.
But I would prefer to have something stuck in the meat to check the center temperature. It's 120 for rare. And remember, when you pull it out of, you're going to wrap it in foil and let it rest for 5 to 10 minutes, 10 minutes preferably, so the juices all settle in the meat and don't run out when you cut it open. It's still going to be plenty hot. That's the procedure you do. But they're expensive to buy that cut of meat, and you want a choice to prime. You want as good a quality, a cut as you can get. And some people like to have their own rub, like they put on ribs or briskets, to rub the steak. I'm just a, salt and pepper guy and leave it alone. And then, you can make up a compound butter or a sauce. That's your choice. It depends on your style and what you have in your repertoire. In Italy, when they do a beefsteak Florentine, which is a monster porterhouse, and they do it over open flame, and you can't get it any more done than rare if you go into a restaurant. They only cook it rare. But it's charred like a mofo on the outside from the flames, and they throw it on the platter. They let it rest in the kitchen a few minutes, and then they bring it out and carve it tableside and cut it. You know, you have a filet, and then you have the New York strip, and they'll cut it and slice it up and put it right back on the bone and bring it out. And that's pretty cool. But they just use lemon. They take a wedge of lemon and squeeze it on it.
Wow.
And that's it for in Italy, in Florence, for the beefsteak Florentine. So, I prefer compound butters, myself, unless you make you could use that Nor Swiss Bernays sauce or Hollandaise sauce, and you can whip that up and then keep it in a double boiler and keep it warm. And then, that's your favorite is the Bernays on the ribeye. And that's very easy to do. You don't have to do it from scratch. That takes too long and it's too hard to hold. But otherwise, what you like and you can just go in, it's KNORR, Nor is the brand, and it's Swiss, and they have all kinds of sauces. They have, demi glaze, they have brown sauce, they have Bernays, Hollandaise, all kinds of stuff. So you can do whatever you desire.
And again, I get an email from you, LOL Mac. Kim had me when he mentioned 2 inches of lovely beef. It's different. It's different, a little bit different eating because the cut of beef is so thick. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you have to have steak knives. You can't be using plastic silverware.
Right.
You have to have a serious steak knife and a real fork. You don't, well, you can cook it to any doneness you want. But me, it's rare to medium rare. My wife is medium. And she gets the outside, which is more done.
Right.
And it usually works for her. And I get the center, the rare part, or medium rare. And then at the end of it, I'll take a real sharp knife and I'll carve everything off the bone, right down to the bone. When you first make your cut, you just make it pretty straight, around the bone. But there's still meat to gnaw on, on the bone, like a caveman. So there's a lot of flavor in that.
Right.
An awful lot of flavor.
Okay, that's one.
Anyway.
You know what? I have a story to tell you about. We made steak in the bag.
When?
On Tuesday night, we celebrated Colleen's birthday. She turned 15.
Oh, great. Way to go.
Yeah. So, and we did steak in the bag, but I went down and I bought a pretty expensive top sirloin. And it was the first time we had ever used the digital meat thermometer doing steak in the bag.
Yes.
And I don't want to sound too enthusiastic, but come on, man, are you kidding me? There's no mystery. It used to be the parameters for steak in the bag were you get as close as you can to a 2-inch cut of top sirloin. Right, and then you dress it, right? So it's cheese and garlic and breadcrumbs, and that forms a crust over the meat, and you bake it. You put it in a bag and you bake it, and so, but there was always a bit of a mystery, right? Because depending on your oven, does your oven cook right at 400? Does it cook at 380? Right. So if you don't know that, and then if the cut's a little bit thicker or a little bit thinner, and most of the time they're thinner, So what does that do? But you don't know till you get it out and you cut it, and you're like, damn it, it's well done or it's medium, and I want it rare. So it was delicious, absolutely, positively, off the hook delicious. And it just when you saw it cut, that beautiful pink center of the meat, it just incredible, just incredible. So another, you want to get somebody a great culinary gift, go get them a digital meat thermometer. You can get them so they have you can get them with like receivers, and again they're Bluetooth devices, right? So it hooks into your phone. You download the app. And then you sync it to the receiver that sits next to your grill. Some of these receivers have as many as 4 openings for receptacles. And that means you have 4 wires going into 4 separate pieces of meat, 4 separate steaks. So every one of them you can make sure is cooked to perfection. And I think those are a little bit more expensive and run about $100. But I'll tell you, if you're going to spend... Yeah, it's nothing if you like to grill and you cook steaks and you want to make sure all those steaks. What I do is I cook, I'll stick it in one steak. The other 3 are in proximity, so I know they're pretty close. They're the same thickness, blah, 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 blah. But if you want to go to the next step, you can't screw it up. You sear it, you move it to indirect heat, and you wait. Poof. Every time you crush it, it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And even steak, even steak in the bag. I bought just a regular metal thermometer to stick inside the oven so I could measure the temperature of the oven in addition to the digital readout that it gives me. There's a 15-degree difference in my oven between what the thermometer in the oven says as opposed to what the digital readout says. And so I factor that into the cooking time, blah, 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 blah. And so So it was awesome though. It was awesome. I thought I have to bring this up to Kim because we've talked about this for so long. And steak in the bag with carrot casserole is a favorite. You can find both those recipes, mind you. And I didn't say this last week, but for everybody that listens, that likes food and likes to cook, and whether the recipe has come from Mike Musselman, who's a bit of a foodie, or the majority of them are from Kim, if you go to the All Marine Radio blog, I think it is. Hold on. It's either the blog or the report. Let me find it. Okay, if you go to the blog, if you click on blog, the first entry you see right now is the All Marine Radio Chef's Cookbook, Kim and Beth Holmes. If you click on the Read More button, okay, it takes you, stand by, it takes you to a page, and there's a great picture of Kim there standing behind the bar at his joint, right, in his lab coat, and there's a link there that says for all of Kim and Beth's recipes that we have discussed on All Marine Radio, just click here. So you click on the word here, and it takes you to to all the different things that we have discussed on the program, and there's a ton of them. All right, there's some of the recipes from his restaurant straight up. Sanders Famous Creme Caramel, Sanders Famous Crab Cakes. There's the recipe, the handwritten recipes for Beth. There's pictures. There's key lime pie. There's prime rib instructions. There's remoulade sauce. There's pumpkin cheesecake. I'm getting hungry. I'm getting hungry listing all these. There's other things on here. Mexican corn chowder that we've talked about. We've talked about salmon burgers. We've talked about. So all the different things, the Juicy Lucy hamburger, jerk seasoning. So all these things are in there. So just go to the blog, and then just follow the links to the page that says their cookbook, and it'll take you. And let me just tell you, this stuff is awesome. If you're looking for something to try over the weekend, there's a little bit of something for everybody. There, and let me just tell you, there's our Thanksgiving recipe, scallop corn, cranberry pear relish, stuffing whipped yams, and spicy pears. All of those instructions are in there. And so there's Thanksgiving stuff. There's Christmas stuff. All right. Everything from fire-resistant gloves that you can buy for a gift to Kim's talking about a toaster oven to all kinds of stuff. No, it's great stuff. It's great, 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 great stuff. I'm looking at this stuff. Pork tenderloin, creamy clam scallop chowder, chicken marsala, braised brisket recipe. So yeah, exactly. So
yeah, there's some great recipes that we've done on the show over the years.
Awesome.
And it's fun to look at them and go back. And for this weekend, if you're scratching your head and you want to get a cool idea, that's where you go.
Yeah, you can start there. You ought to be able to find something. In there. The other thing I saw, and it made me think of you, so I went down to buy the piece of beef for dinner. And so I'm in this butcher shop, and I'm waiting. The guy, they asked me, like, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for a piece of top sirloin to feed about five people.
Tenderloin? Or sirloin?
I don't know. I don't know the difference.
It was a tenderloin you were asking, the filet mignon, right?
I don't know.
Because that's what I had with Beth and I had at your house the very first time that blew me away.
How do you know that?
Well, a tenderloin is looks like a log, and a sirloin is more like a steak. and you can use sirloin, absolute. But I think Susan did a filet mignon. It's called a tenderloin, and that's the piece I'm pretty sure you use.
Let me ask you this: so if you're looking for something that's about 2 inches thick, what would it be?
Yeah, be a tenderloin.
Okay.
And you can get a sirloin 4 inches thick if you want. But the tenderloin is that, looks like we used to call them beef bucks. And you trim, you have the butcher trim the silver off and any fat, and the silver is that, muscle that's, on the outside of the tenderloin. And you have them trim that, and then you have this long stick, and it's small at one end and big at the other. And it tapers from anywhere to be 3 inches thick down to, an inch thick. And you want to buy the whole tenderloin, which will cost you probably $125.
Whoa.
For about a 7 pound chunk of meat, 6 to 7 pound piece of meat, and it'll be probably $12 a pound for a choice or prime tenderloin. And I'm pretty sure, Mac, that's what you got to do the steak in the bag.
You know, I want to say this. The monitor's on, and John McCain's currently lying in state in the rotunda of the Capitol.
I'm watching the same thing, Mac.
There's some piece of shit that standing there with the American flag upside down outside the Capitol. And I know it's his First Amendment right, but you know what? It just reminds me of, you know, those people that show up at funerals for guys killed in combat, and they protest and all the rest of that shit. It just pisses me off. You know, I mean,
it should. It should piss all of us off.
What a loser. You know, what an absolute there's a time and a place for everything. And my mother used to preach that to me, you know, and your life will be a lot smoother when you learn that. And I hope there's a special fiery place in hell for pieces of shit like that. I do.
I hear you. I know exactly what you're saying.
Here's an email for you. I would tell you, and then they, so when I bought the cut of meat at the butcher shop, they said, what are you doing with it? And I said, well, it's called steak in the bag. And they're like, what? And I handed them, and they were both in their 20s. I handed them the recipe. And so these two, you know, butchers, and they're looking at the recipe. And the guy says, do you mind if I take a picture of this with my cell phone? I said, no. He said, it looks awesome. I said, let me just tell you, it is fantastic. And they're like, wow, we've never heard of this recipe before. I said, my mom used to make it, and it's absolutely delicious. And so it's really interesting experience at the butcher shop. Here's the email. It's called Smoked Salmon. Hey, Mac, as you guys talk, I'm preparing salmon to smoke. Has Kim smoked salmon? If so, how did he prep it and smoke it?
Well, you use indirect heat, but you have to rub it with whatever rub you're going to use. And you cook it, if you're going to cook it in your grill, you make sure that the smoker box is loaded with a lot of wet. In the Northwest, they use cedar is the dominant smoke source, and that's what gives most smoked salmon their flavor, and then you put it off the direct heat right away, and have at it, and it should take you maybe an hour or so to smoke the fish. I used to make lox in my OrthoCham, but that's a commercial application.
Right. Let me ask you, in terms, so you said on indirect heat,
yeah.
Is there a temperature range that you would use? Because as you said, whether you're using a propane grill or you're using charcoal, most of those things all have temperature gauges.
Yeah. I would do 250, 225 to 250.
With the lid shut.
With the lid shut, and it might take, a couple hours. It depends how thick you're using a whole side of salmon or salmon fillets. That's another question.
Right. All right. And if when you cook fish, do you simply go by the color of the fish in terms of when you know that it's done? And again, he's smoking. He's smoking
and,
this.
And when you press the fish with your thumb, you don't want your thumb to go in. You want it to be firm because you want the fish to smoke all the way through, and it kind of cooks also. But you don't want to put it on any direct heat because you ruin it.
Right.
And if you have a wet rub or a dry rub on your salmon, you might take, for example, you take salt, brown sugar, and then whatever herb you want to use, just salt and pepper, salt and brown sugar, and you rub the fish, and then you put it on the grill in the rip, and that sugar, of course, and will melt, and then the smoke, well, you'll get a sweet, smoky flavor from, and I'm saying if you use, say, a side of salmon or a side of a big piece of halibut filet. I've done it with black cod. It depends. But low and slow, you want to cook it, so you want to do 225 to 250 and let the air circulate around there. And then depends on the thickness of your fish and whether if you do fillets, you rub it all over and no skin on them. Take the skin off and you can leave the skin on one side if you have a whole fillet. That's up to the individual, but I prefer to take the skin off the fish completely. And if you have individual fillets, they're going to cook a little faster. They'll smoke a little faster than if you were to take a side of fish. It'll take a little longer.
Okay. And just, again, by the nature of smoking, low temperatures, yep, extended time, to make sure we get that flavor in it without scorching anything. So it's the principle is low heat. All right. All right. Any other pointers smoking salmon?
No. I just it depends if you don't like. I like the sugar and the salt combination.
So do I.
Any kind of you can use cedar chips. You can use alder wood.
Oh my God! It's amazing. Is the different wood combination? Oh my God! You used to be hickory, and then it was apple, and then it was maple, and now it's like, are you kidding?
Mesquite. We have a carpenter friend that was involved in helping build all my restaurants in our condo. And he just had a smoker made for him, designed it and built it, had it built. And he uses mesquite out of the Southwest, Texas and the Southwest, mesquite wood, which is a hard wood. And, oh my God, was it delicious. he did a rack of ribs, and he brought the rack over, and I tore right into it, and I got about three ribs in. Beth ripped it out of my hands and portioned it out and put it in the freezer. So slow down, big boy. But your choice of wood is tremendous. But, you know, something cedar, alder, cherry wood, apple wood, whatever you want to do. When in Italy, when they had the wood fire, they used olive wood to fire up their wood-fired ovens.
Olive wood.
Olive wood. You know, when you prune the olive trees or the apple orchards or whatever, they usually burn that. Well, you go collect it and stack it up, and there's a wood source that's pretty cheap, if at all. So keep that in mind, folks, too.
The all right. The another email question, Mike. Interesting to hear the chef talk about exotic things. I'm curious to hear his second. Don't forget it. I know you have ADHD and get sidetracked on occasion. I'm not sure why you would say that, but okay. Yeah. So a 2-inch thick porterhouse was number one in terms of things that you don't do all the time on a grill that you might want to do over the course of a 3-day weekend when you can do something a little bit more special. So give me another one.
Okay. You can go to Sam's Club, and they have these, about 18 inch long pork tenderloins, and it's the center cut of off the bone. There's very little fat. You can take that and you can butterfly it open. And if you have a mixture of herbs and garlic and a little olive oil, and you mix all that, and then you roll it up and then tie it, and then throw it on the grill, and you cook that the same way, you have to get a crust on the outside, and then you set it to the side, put your thermostat in there, and you want that internal temperature to be about 150 before you pull it off. 160, 170 is what you want your finish temperature on your inside the pork. Now, you could do that whole and just rub the outside with whatever you want, or you could butterfly it open. Now, to butterfly a whole tenderloin like that, a pork tenderloin, it's about 4 inches thick all the way around, and you lengthwise, you take your knife and you slit it about an inch, in 2 inches up from the bottom. You're laying lengthwise on the side. You slit it all the way down. You don't till it's about an inch from the end, and your knife going through, and then you flap it open, and then you have a thin part, the bottom, and then a thicker part, and then you take your knife and you cut that right in the middle of the thickness, and then you the same way without going all the way through, and you open it up, so you have, you're looking at it, and it's lengthwise going away from you. And you have three pieces. Okay? Now, you take whatever you're going to stuff that with, herbs, garlic, salt, pepper, maybe You want to slather it with mustard in the inside or whatever, barbecue sauce, I don't care. And then you fold it up and you put it back together so it's a circle. And then you take a butcher string, and you can go to the butcher and have him show you what butcher string is, and then they'll show you and you can get some. It's a, like a white cord, not a thick cord. It looks like straight is string. And then you make a knot. I mean, you tie it off at one end after it's folded up. And then you have a, say it's 18 inches and your piece of string is going to be 3 feet. Okay. And then you take that and you make a loop and you tie it around one end. Then you go towards the other end about 4 inches and it's just a straight line. And then you take that loose string and you go underneath all the way around and you loop it through that and so it's tight. And you've tied off the second part. Then you go down 4 more inches, you go under the roast, come up, and you loop it through and go straight again, another 4 inches. And you do that, and that's called tying a roast off. Now, if you need an example of that, how to do it so you can see it visually. I'm sorry, we don't have visiphone.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, it's so easy to do, and you'll be tired. You know, you'll think, God, this is not that hard, and it's not. And then you get to the end, and you're about an inch from the end, and then you go underneath, and you loop it around, and then you tie a knot and tie it off. And then it won't fall apart. It'll keep everything inside the roast, and then you brown it off on the grill, and you don't want to get it black, you just want to get a little crust on there, because when you put it on an indirect heat, and this thing will take probably an hour on indirect heat, you start it at 500 degrees, your grill, and you brown it, and then you push it off to the side, and turn your grill down to about 375 to 400. And then let it finish cooking that way. And all the juices will stay inside. And you have this nice little crust on the outside and the ends. And that is something, if you like pork, that is very good yield. And to buy a pork rind like that at Sam's, it's somewhere around $2 to $3 a pound. And depending on the price of pork, it could be $1.60 a pound, $1.80 a pound, $2.20 a pound. I mean, it's a lot of food, and I used to do that at the restaurant, and it was a good profit, and it's all meat. There's not fat like, you know, some chops are, have fat. This is the center cut of a big hog that they cut the bone off, and then there's this tenderloin, and that's what you use. You can't miss it in the meat counter. You'll see them in Cryovac sitting in the meat counter, and they weigh, oh geez, anywhere from 8 to 12 pounds, maybe bigger. It depends on how long they are and how thick they are.
All right. There you have it. All right, sir. First of all, thank you very much. First of all, it's good to hear your voice. And thank you for doing All Angiogram Radio today and last Friday. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for thinking about me. And thank you, Mac. Did Colleen get her little video?
Oh, yeah. She did. She did. She's been running around playing volleyball. So anyway. All right, sir. I will talk to you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you, Matt.
You bet. There you have it. The one and only All Marine Radio head chef. Sounds like $1 million, by the way. The Gunner coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.